Did you get?
No, I just got it.
Okay, thank you. So let's just go over the last thing that we discussed yesterday, which is in Tosfos Divra Maskil V'Al Akusis, with regard to Matzir Grushoso. This is towards the end of Tosfos on Daf Chof Tesamid Aleph. So gentlemen, do you mind if I start? I mean, just reviewing what I did yesterday, so you'll be able to... You'll be able to tune in. The Tosfos in his Hava Mina thinks that the list in our Mishnah of Noshim Psulos, that they collect knas, should be an exhaustive list. And in that case, what about the lav of Machzir Grushoso Misha Nises? Now the obvious answer is, well, if it's Machzir Grushoso, then she's already a Bu'ula. But Tosfos says that in order to consummate the Nisuin, the second Baal had a Be'ila Shalo Kedarka. And therefore she still remains a Besula. So we have near a situation where if the second husband was Baal Shalo Kedarka, and then he dies or he divorces her, for the first husband to remarry her after Nisuin to a second husband is a violation of the Lav Doraisa of Machzir Grushoso. Yet, she's still a Besula. That should have been listed here in our Mishnah. So the problem that we raised yesterday, the objection to this Tosfos, was the fact that it seems from many Rishonim, and the Rambam included, that once a woman is a Nisua, she forfeits her status as a Besula, and that regardless, irrelevant to whether she had a Be'ila or she didn't have a Be'ila. The very status of a woman as a Nesua makes her into a Be'ula al Pidin. And Tosfos seems to take this approach and reflects this position on Daf Mem Tesom and Aleph, which is 20 blot down the line, and contradicting the very premise of his question here. So we have two different Tosfos, and one Tosfos here that assumes that we just need Edim to testify that Shelo Nivala, and then she still retains her status as a Besula, hence she collects Knas, as opposed to the second opinion in Tosfos, which is back, forward in on Daf Mem Tes. There Tosfos takes the position that once she's a Nesua, then she already has ipso facto the status of a Be'ula, despite the testimony of two Eidim that she's still a Besula. Now the Kesef Mishnah makes the following point. So let's see if we can find the Kesef Mishnah should be on page Kuf in the pages here. You'll see it on the bottom right.
Hinei HaKesef Mishnah.
Yeah, Hinei HaKesef Mishnah, number Nun Vav. He quotes the Rambam in Perek Aleph Mehilchas Naira. And the Rambam says that a Besula min anesuin, meaning she's physically a Besula, is Ein Lo Knas. And the Rambam derives this, says the Kesef Mishnah, from a Mishnah back in the first Perek of Ksubis, on Daf Yud Aleph, which states that a Besula almana grusha chalutza min anesuin. So again, one of the cases here is a Besula min anesuin, and yet the Mishnah paskins, despite the physical state of her being a Besula, Ksubas almana, She forfeits her status as a Besula, hence her Ksuba goes down 50% from Masayim to Manan. Not only that, the Mishnah goes on to say, Ve'elam Titus Besula. In other words, he can't claim, well, I thought I was marrying a Besula, I found it to be a Be'ula, and therefore I want my money back. He can't do such a thing, because he has to understand that he married her as a Be'ula. This despite the fact that there are Eidim that testify that she's a Besula. So the Kesef Mishnah says the following: Yesh litchos lo dami hasa matam shekzubas mana hu mishum dasheni noseil sabecheskas beula. In other words, even though there are edim, we don't rely on these edim. And the average Joe, the average person on the street, thinks that she is a beula. She was married. She had chuppah. She had nesuin. She's a beula. And therefore, when he marries her, his ischaivus, his commitment, is only to give the ksuba of a ba'ula. If he ain't no somech al zeh, even though the Edom are testifying Shalom Nivola, he's not going to rely on that. Me'achas Shalom Nisuin. And they're going to, you know, these marriage partners will, these grooms, you know, in each case, they'll assume that the Edom was saying it L'shabcha. You know, when you marry a girl, so everybody tells you all her great qualities. So they're going to tell you, She may have been married before, but she was never had before, if you know what I mean. She's still a basula. And all that is true with regard to ksuba, and that's true also with regard to tainus basulin, but it has no impact on knas. Knas depends upon a doraisa status, meaning is she a basula? She's not a basula. Well, if Aiden testifies shalom nivola, we have no reason to cast dispersion on these Edim. We therefore assume that she is a Besula. Hence, Tosas says, in this case where she had Nesuim with a Ve'ilah Shelo Kedarka, the premise that we're operating with is that she's still a Besula, and she could collect Knas. That leads Tosas to ask the question, well, why didn't the Mishnah list this case of Machzir Grushoso Mishanises? Now, at the end of this paragraph that starts with V'yesh Lidchos, he quotes the Knesset HaGdola. The Knesset HaGdola was a Sephardi that lived many centuries ago, and in early Psak amongst Sephardic works, it is an absolutely first-class, reliable Sefer. And he's the author of many others for him. He wrote the Bar Chaye and others. And he writes that im hoysa nida b'shosh nichnas lechupim arisham and is armal akorim shetitayer ksubasa masayin. In other words, there's a case even in Hilchas Ksuba where the second marriage partner will assume that she's a besula, and that's a case where the first marriage took place when she was a nida, and then unfortunately her husband died before they got a chance to consummate the marriage. She didn't even get a chance to go to the mikvah. This is a very tragic situation. And in such a case, when she gets remarried, the ksuba is going to be masayin. And yesh latanis besulin. Here's a case where the husband himself marries her under the assumption that she's a besula, because she was a nida at the time of chuppah, and she never got a chance to be metar herself before her husband Ebuch died. She is becheskas besula. So certainly in that case, Tosus is right. That would be a case of Machzir Grushoso Mishanises. So it means that Reuven married Leah. He divorced Leah. Leah got married to Shimon. And she was a nida at the time of the marriage. Lo and behold, Shimon died before she was metara herself. In such a case, she has a cheskes besula l'chol dinim. And therefore Tosus is right that if the first husband would be ma'ane, sorry, would certainly have to pay knas. She is a basula. And hence, why did the Mishnah omit this case of knas, of noshim psulos, and they pay knas? Now he quotes a Yerushalmi that the Rashba is famous for making, the Rashba made this Yerushalmi famous in the first parak of Ksuvos. It's called China. China means a certain chen, a certain grace, a certain close relationship and love between a husband and wife if she's a besula. And the Yerushalmi says that when it's batel chena, whenever that chen is lost, I'll explain, then the ksuba drops down from masayim to mana. So the reason why ksuba is jacked up from mana to masayim is because of chen. Now, says Yerushalmi, what's enough to be mevatel chen? When does a woman lose her chen such that her ksuba will no longer be masayim, it will be a mana? And that's called mishosh and nichnasa l'chupa. And it doesn't matter whether she had be'ilah or not. There's another way in which a ksuba of a woman goes down from masayim to mana. It doesn't have to mean she's a ba'ula. She may still be a besula, but her ksuba is down to masayim to mana. And the reason for that is batel chen, because she was already married. Married means she had both Erisin and Nisuin, Erisin and Chuppah. She loses her chen. And this is a deep psychological principle which underscores the whole concept of Ksubas Masayim, Ksubas Mana. Ksubas Masayim is because of chen. But obviously this distinction would have no bearing and no relevance to Knas. Knas is not because of chen. Knas is because of a besula, because he had this relationship with a besula. She still is a besula. She was nichnas al chuppah, but she was no living, lo nivel. She still has the status of a besula. Now we have another problem, bless you, with this Tosfos. And that is as far as Be'ila Shalo Kidarka. Tosfos has to establish that after the first husband divorced her, she was already a Nesua to the second husband without a Bia that would have made her into a Ba'ula, namely in the case of Be'ila Shalo Kidarka. And now we have to ask a different question. Does a Be'ila Shalo Kidarka make a woman into a Ba'ula? Tosfos is assuming not, because it's in the wrong side, so there's no breaking of the besulin. But yet, we have a sugya mesechta kedushin that clearly is built on the following premise, that when the be'ila took place shalo kedarka, within the context of a marriage, within the ishus, then baal osa osa be'ula, that his bia, even though it was shalo kedarka, makes her into a be'ula. And if that be the case, how do we understand Tosfos, who assumes that she still retains the status of a besula, despite the fact that the second husband, we'll call him Shimon, had a be'ila of shalom kedarka? And this is the subject on page Kuf Aleph, which I assume you have, of Os Nun Vav, Nun Zayin, excuse me, and Nun Ches. So we're looking on page Kuf Aleph, on the bottom right. Od yesh la'ayin b'kushas ha'tosfos, the very premise of Tosfos, that since she had a bia shalo kedarka, therefore she still retains her status as a besula, we don't really understand this. B'yoser koshe, on the left column, maho ilu, what did Tosfos gain by saying that the second marriage partner had a be'ila shalo kedarka? The Gemara says in Kiddushin that Baal Osa Osa Ba'ula Shalo Kedarka. If you want to underline those words, that's a quote from the Gemara in Kiddushin. That if a husband has a be'ila shalo kedarka with his wife, that makes her into a Ba'ula. In Cain, if that be the case, Lo Mishkachas Le Knas, you can never have a case of a Knas where she's an Asua, and she had a be'ila, because Mimanashak, if it was a be'ila kedarka, certainly she's a be'ula. And even if it's a be'ila shalo kedarka, she's a be'ula, because this is the case of a ba'al. So in the paragraph that starts the Efshar, he suggests connecting Tosfos with the Ritva. The Ritva is of the opinion that when we say that a ba'al oso sa be'ula shalo kedarka, that's because this be'ila was a be'ilas kinyan, which means that with this be'ila he was konahar, whether it be for kiddushin or maybe even for erusin. I'm sorry, even for nesuin. Remember, we have a sugya in kiddushin that vacillates back and forth about whether you need two be'ilas, one for erusin and one for nesuin, or with one be'ila he could accomplish both. Tosfos actually comes to the conclusion, based on one of the Gaonim, that the Tchilas Bia was enough to establish Kedushin, and the Sof Bia, that very same act of Bia, is enough to establish Nisuin. But be that as it may, the Ritva says that if that Be'ilo is a Be'ilas Kinyan, then even if it was Shalom Kedarka, that Be'ilo is effective. And when he says Kinyan, I think he means Erisin. Now, why do I think he means Erisin? Because you'll see on the fourth line, he writes Umashma. Mashma means the simple reading of the Ritva indicates Shedavka Kishimakacha Bibiya Shalokidarka. Then we elevate that Bia Shalokidarka to the status of Bi'ila, and it makes her into a Be'ula. But let's say, for example, he was Mekadisha not with Be'ila, but with Kesef or Shtar, and then he did a Be'ila Shalom Kedarka. In such a case, even the Ritva would agree that that's not a Be'ila that makes her into a Be'ula. And if that be the case, we can justify Tosus, because Tosus is talking about a Be'ilish Lo Kedaka after Erusin on the part of the second husband. So he was Makadishar with Kesef Ashtar, then he had Be'ilish Lo Kedaka. That Be'ilish Lo Kedaka, according to the Dva, does not make her into a Be'ula. But now, in number Nun Ches, he wants to come with a fresh approach. Yesh Lachkar, he says, Bahach Dina Debal Oso So Be'ula Shalo Kedarka. How do we understand this halach? Let's define it, that in the case of a Baal, his Be'ula, even though it's Shalo Kedarka, makes her into a Be'ula. Im, let's underline Im, that's the first tzad of his Chakira. Yesodahu da chashivu shel be'ilas habal osa degam be'ila shelo kedarka nechsheves ki be'ila gemura, means like a be'ila kedarka umashvi le'leina besula. So in other words, the Baal, when he does be'ila within the framework of a marriage relationship, that itself upgrades the status of his be'ila shelo kedarka to a be'ila kedarka. That's one way of understanding it. Now, you might ask, well, maybe even a bias acher, somebody else has a bia, and he's not married to this woman, shelo kedarka. Maybe we should elevate his bi'ila to that status of a bi'ila kedarka. No, we're not going to go that far. Why? Because the whole ribui, where the Torah says that even a bi'ila shelo kedarka is a bi'ila that's only le'inyin chiyuvim, right, to upgrade the status of chiyuvim. Let's say, for example, a man will have a relationship with an erva, whether she's an Eishes Ish or any of the other arayos, and he has a relationship shelo kedarka. So we have a ribui that even a bia shelo kedarka is enough to be mechayev him as if he had a bia shelo kedarka. But nevertheless, that's only as far as chiyuv is concerned. But it doesn't mean that his bi'ila is a bi'ila gemura. In order to make it into Be'ilu Gemura, you need an extra Chashivas, because this is an unusual kind of Be'ilu, you have to admit. It's very unusual. And therefore, you need the Chashivas of Baal, of having this Be'ilu within the framework of marriage. Then towards the end of the page, you underline the word O. Now, O means the second way of defining it. And now we go on to page Kuf Beis. O. Now, I don't think you photocopied two pages. So I'll just read a few lines, because I didn't know whether to photocopy the whole page, you know, if it's just a few lines. But I'll try to explain it pretty well. Okay, is that all right? Oh, he says, "Dilo nomar klal bedinze, lo nemar klal bedinze, shehi nases li'ena besula." It could be that when the halacha, the Gemara in Kiddushin, says that the ilas baal, even shelo kedarka, osa osa kibeula, the Gemara didn't mean to say that she becomes a beula. It's just that nafka le mikra de beulas baal, the kevan shechal of shame beula al yedei bilas baal, it's only halacha as far as chenek is concerned. There's a din that if a man has a relationship with an Eishes Ish under certain circumstances, he'll be chayav a Misa Chamura. If on the other hand she's already a Ba'ula, then the Misa drops a level. If the husband had a Ba'ila with his wife in a Shalom Kedarka situation, then as far as the Misa for someone who would have a relationship with this woman, the Misa would go down a notch because she's already considered a Ba'ula. But then, he's saying the following, she's not really a Ba'ula. This Be'ila Shalom Kedarka could not possibly make her into Ba'ula. But the answer is that even though she's a Besula, there's a Gzeres HaKosav, a special derivation, that as far as onshim are concerned, once there was a be'ilah on the part of the Baal within the framework of marriage, she no longer has a full-fledged status as far as the Misa is concerned. Let's say instead of a Misa Sreifa, it'll go down to a Misa's Chenek. So let's just explain the Nafkamina, and then we'll go back to the Chakir. Nafkamina in Knas. If you go with the first understanding that through Be'ilas HaBaal, because of the special Chashivas of HaBaal, she becomes a Be'ula, then she forfeits her Knas. And we have no clue what Tosus is asking about in the case of Masa Gushos Mishinisa is Kishanivala Shalokadaku, because that Be'ila was on the part of the Baal. Avolat Sadasheni, Dahach Dino Shaykh Rak Lagabi Onshim Lagabi Ktola. And it lowers the punishment in terms of Mrs. Bezna down to the level of Chenek. I forget what the original was. If she's a psula, I think it's skila, if I remember correctly. Not strafa, but skila. Aishas Bas Kohen is a skila. So then, it has no relationship to Gabi Knas. Why? Because she still retains her status as a psula, despite the fact that the Baal had a Bila Shalo Kedarka. We're only lowering the nature of the ketola for someone else who has relationship with her from skila down to Chenek. Aval gabi knas gam bilas baal lo mashvile libaula. So since she still has the status of basula, therefore she gets knas, and then we justify the kasha of Tosfos. Okay, where are we up to now? So if you're on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, we're now holding on the bottom of Tosfos Divrei HaMashkil V'Al. And we're up to, just 1 second, where's Yavama? Umiyu Birushalmi, 1 second. I'm sorry. My mistake. There are two Tosfos and they start with the same Dibra Masko. That's where I got confused. The Al-Eishes Achiv. Okay. So the Al-Eishes Achiv. Just 1 second. Oh, Havi Matsu Lemisne Yevamal Ashut. Just 1 second. Okay. So, Rabosai, I want you to underline two different things here so you'll know where we're going here. First of all, this is less important, but I do want to touch on it. In Tosfos Divrei HaMashkil V'Al HaKusis, if you'll count up 4 lines before the end of the Tosfos, there's a, towards the end of that line, it says, V'od HaVimotzi L'misni Yevama LaShuk. Okay, we'll get to that in just a minute. But in the meantime, I want you to underline the next Tosfos, V'Al Eishes Achiv. And now you're going to count up 5 lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 lines up before the end of the Tosfos, the end of the page. It says, Umiyu Birushalmi. You have such a thing? 6 lines up before the end of the page. Umiyu Birushalmi. So those are the two parts of Tosfos that I want to call to your attention for the moment. Okay? So Tosfos says that not only do I have a kasha about Machzi Grushoso, I have another kasha about Yevamal Ashuk. So let's just go over the basics. A woman's husband dies and he leaves no children. He has a brother. She falls for Yibam in front of her brother. If someone else other than a brother would have relationship with her, he violates a law of Losia Eishes HaMeis HaChutzal Ishzar. And that would generate a violation of a chiyuv lav. Yet, he would pay knas if she was a nara. Why? Because the Mishnah lists all the noshim psulos. So why didn't the Mishnah list Yevamal Ashuk? And based on these two questions, number one, Machzi Grushoso Mishnah Nisseis, and Yevamal Ashuk, Tosfos is going to come to the conclusion that Tana Vishir. Now, in this case of Yevamal Ashuk, it's interesting. Why? Because let's assume for a moment that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva has a shita that in all Isurei Bia, Yochayev, even outside the context of Nisuin. So let's say, for example, Machzir Grushasa. Let's take that case. What does it mean, Machzir Grushasa? So according to all the Tanoim, with the exception of Akiva, Machzir Grushasa means he went ahead and he remarried this woman after she was married to someone else. Rabbi Akiva says no, that even if he just has a bia outside the framework of marriage, then he violates the law and he gets malchus. The same thing would happen. Wait, okay, so let's get to the Yavama Lashuk in a minute. Okay. Now let's just think this out for a second. Tosis wants to include in the list of the Mishnah Machzir Grushasa. Now, our Mishnah is addressing a case of Ones and Mefate. There was no marriage. So, if Tosis wants to set up a situation where, despite the fact that with this bia you violate a lav and you get malchus, you still have to pay knas. And the reason for that is because the Torah says that even if you violate a lav and there's no fulfillment of alosia le'isha, nevertheless, the knas is still in place. So it would seem that Tosfos is looking for a hechatimta in which you would get malchus for violating the law. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that no, that the Torah says instead of malchus, you're going to pay a knas. So we have a whole list, right? Let's say Baal Achoso. So Baal Achoso, the Torah is going to tell you that in a case of a Nara, although he's going to get malchus for violating Baal Achoso, nevertheless he pays knas. Okay, we're going to soon see that there are two Tanoim who disagree with that, and our mission is against those two Tanoim. That's going to be our major discussion for today. But before we get to that, let's just establish the sheet of our Mishnah. Namely, that even though you get malchus for having this rape relationship, nevertheless you still pay knas instead of malchus. Now, how we know that is going to be a sugya later on in this pair. According to Ula, that's a general rule that whenever there's an overlap of both malchus and mamon, you pay the mamon instead of getting the malchus. We reject Ula, Rabbi Yochanan rejects Ula, but he admits that in the case of knas, there's an exception to the rule. In any event, if Tosfos is looking for a case where a man, as a result of this bi'ila, would get malchus, let's say machzir grushasa, then he's going to have to invoke Rabbi Akiva's shita that in Machzir Grushasa you get malchus just simply for the bia. You don't need to remarry her in order to get malchus, as the other Tanoim would insist. So, for example, the shita Megubetzes quotes the same kash of Tosfos, and he answers Bepluta Loka Mayri. That our Mishnah didn't want to get into this whole machlokas, whether or not he's chayav for the lav and he would get malchus or machzir grushasa with bi'ila alone, because that's a machlokas tanoim. So that's called bepluta lo kamayim. Okay. Now, it could be that this is why Tosfos adds the word vi'od, right? And he says, V'od havimotzi l'misni Yavam al-Ashuk. In the case of Yavam al-Ashuk, everybody agrees that there's an Isur Lav with Malchus for Bi alone. That's not a Machlokas Tanoim. So the V'od is a further proof to his conclusion of Tana V'Shir, because if you'll say my first proof about Machzir Grushasa was not an adequate proof because B'plug to Loka Mayri, my second proof is from Yavam al-Ashuk. Because In the case of Yevam Lashuk, everybody agrees that you get Malkus for B.O.L.O. Now what I need to, I don't have access here for this moment to the Rambam and Isurei Bia, but the Rambam and Isurei Bia has a tremendous machlokas. You want to get it? Okay. The Rambam assumes in Isurei Bia against Rabbi Akiva that you only get Malkus if there was Baal the Kiddush. Can you open up the Rambam and just spare me of that? So it's the 15th chapter of Isurei Bia Halacha Beis. Can you read it out loud or read it to yourself and tell me what you find according to the Rambam? Do you need both Be'ila and Kiddushin? Or is it enough to have one of the two to get Malkus? I'm talking about Malkus.
Right.
Oh, so the Rambam seems to assume that it's Balu li Achar Kiddushin. In other words, you would not get Malkus, let's say in the case of Bala Mamzer, unless it was first Kiddushin. Oh, he says it beferish, kiddush v'lo bal, ein lo kiddush. Does he say bal v'lo kiddush?
Bal
v'lo kiddush, ein lo kiddush. Ein lo kiddush. Ad she what? She kaddish v'yivol. So you need two conditions for the Rambam in order to get Malkus. The other Rishonim say no, that for all chai v'lav, bal v'lo kiddush lo kiddush. Now, in the case of Yevam Lashuk, you'll get Malkus even without Bia. And it could be that even the Rambam might agree to that. That's what we have to check out. But be that as it may, the argument to the Shita Mekubetzus is that that's why Tosus had to add this extra kasha from Yevam Lashuk, that the fact that the Mishnah omitted Yevam Lashuk proves, without a shadow of a doubt, that Tana Vashir, because you could always deflect the first argument, the first proof from Masa Gushoso, because here's a case of Be'ila without Kiddushin. Now, it seems that there is a Shita, the Ritva, in Kiddushin. I'm not familiar with this Shita, that the love of Yevam Lashuk might also include what's called Havayas Kiddushin. So it would mean Kiddush. If he marries her, then he gets Be'ila. But lo kiddush ain't a loka, so it means that that even in the case of Yevam Lashuk, apparently the prerequisite for Be'ila to generate Malkus is also, in this case, let's say according to those shitas, would mean that he needs kiddushin first. So that wouldn't help us in our Tosfos. Now keep in mind, and this you see on the top page Kuf Gimel, which I think you do have, that there's a machlokes in Masechta Yevamos and in Masechta Kiddushin between Rav and Shmuel about Yevam Lashuk, and that is whether Kiddushin toasts in the Yevam Lashuk. The Torah says Lo Siya Eish Sames Achutza Liish Zar, and Rav derives from that pasuk Lo Siya that there's no Avaya, there's no Kiddushin, so no one can be Makadish or Yevam Lashuk. That's the sheet of Rav. So you might want to underline this because it's going to come up over and over again in our learning that Rav holds that Ein Kiddushin Tosin be Yevam Lashuk.
Rabbi Gerson, I only copy Kuf Hey and Kuf Vav.
You don't have Kuf Gimel?
No, that wasn't on the list.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was on the list, but you didn't see it. I'll tell you why you didn't see it, because it's on a different line. Yes. You see, that's where it was. So you just read this line.
So maybe I did it. Am I running to it right now?
No. Okay. I don't think it's necessary. I just want you to know that according to Rav, Ein Kiddushin Tosin, the Yevam Lashuk. And that's a big chiddush, because usually we say ein kiddushin tosin in chayve krisus, but Yevamah Leshuk is only chayve lavin, and yet he derives from the pasuk lo siya eisha samesa chutza. Lo siya means there's no havaya, there's no ishus, there's no kiddushin. Okay, Rabosa, at this point I want to go to the second underline that I asked you to emphasize, and that's the middle of the Tosus, V'al Eishes Achiv. And he quotes the Yushalmi. Ubi Yushalmi mukilo kishabo oleo ad shalomes umes. That our Mishnah is addressing a case where the Ma'anes, at the moment of the Ones, owed, so to speak, a Knas to the father, but then the father died. And now he pays Knas to the Isha. Okay then? That's the Yushalmi. I think we've mentioned this Yushalmi in the past, but now maybe we'll spend a little bit more time analyzing the Yushalmi. So let me just read to you another few words here. He says, "Ba aleha ad shalomes umes." So what are we dealing with here? Let's just get the facts on the ground. In the next Mishnah, we're going to have a discussion about a father and a daughter. And we're going to conclude that there's no knasa because of Kim Levi the Rabbanine. That's a fee of Misa. Oh. But here's the problem. Why does the Mishnah need, on Daf Lamed Vav Beis, the explanation of Kim Levi the Rabbi and Mnei Shemeschai Benafsho? Forget about Mnei Shemeschai Benafsho. Even without Meschai Benafsho, we have halacha that the knas goes to the father. And in this case, the father was the Boel. So it's pointless, it's meaningless to talk about knas, what he's going to take it from his right hand and put it into his left hand. I mean, what kind of knas is it going to be? Right, the Ma'anis has to pay the father, and in this case, the father is the Ma'anis. So what was the Havamina here that there would be Knas? Such that I need Mithnation Mishayev Benafsh, or if the Knas goes to the father. So this question is actually raised by the Yushalmi. And the Yushalmi comes up with the answer, Kishabo Oleo Ad Shalomes Umes. So the father, Nebuch, rapes his own daughter, and then he dies. And immediately after he dies, there is a chiv to pay knas. Now, the father is dead, so how is he going to pay knas? So the Yushalmi insists that the Yarshim, who inherit the estate of their father, they will pay knas. That's the Yushalmi. Now, this is very, very difficult. Because when does knas become a chiyuv that could be transferred over to the nechosim of a person, such that after he dies, his yarshim picking up those nechosim would have to pay up the chov of the father? When does that chov of knas actually emerge? Don't all answer at once. The chov of a knas, when does it emerge? Every knas. So we're giving a knas here, in this case, a ma'anis and fatah, but this could be true for kefel of a ganav, dal vehe, whatever knas you'll come up to. When does the knas actually emerge as a chiyuv?
At the time of the onus?
No, at the time of hamadah bedin. Why do we need hamadah bedin? Because there's no such thing as every other chiyuv is engendered by let's say a hezek or a matmos, you know, you lent me 1,000. But in the case of a knas, the Maisa is not enough to engender a Chiyuv Knas. That requires a Bezdin. And it might not even be a regular Bezdin. It might be a high-powered Bezdin. of mumchim or whatever, smuchim or shlichu saikav din, whatever the various rules are. But in any event, it's the amar b'din with the gemara din of bezdin that establishes the chov of knas. Knas is not a chiv that automatically emerges; it's only established by bezdin. So now we go back to this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the father had this relationship with his daughter, then he died, and the Yarshim of his father have to take money out of the estate to pay the knas. Why is that so? The estate picks up a chiyuv when the chiyuv exists, but here in this case there was never a chiyuv to begin with.
So he died. So there's no hamada b'din.
If there's no hamada b'din, how can Yerushalmi say that he pays knas? That meaning the Yarshim pay knas. How could Yosef pay knas? If he died, there was no amar b'din. If there was no amar b'din, there was never a chiyuv knas. How do we understand this Yerushalmi? So I'll read to you just a few lines from this page, and then you'll decide if you want to go ahead and photocopy it. He says the following: Kasha tamur ma'od eich mishtabdim nechasav. In other words, in order for the Yosef to have to be fine to pay some penalty or some payment to their father, it's got to be what's called a shibud nechasiv. But in this case, there's no amar b'din. If there's no amar b'din, there can't be a shibud nechasiv. Hari achiv lo chal el b'shas amar b'din, like any knas. V'kevin shemes sulo shach amar b'din. If there's no amar b'din, then there's no chiv. If there's no chiv, there's no shibud. If there's no shibud, you cannot possibly force the yarshim to cough up the knas. And furthermore, he asks the following: V'afilu neima. Even if I'll grant you the yichol lahamid b'dinas ayarshim, maybe there could be a new kind of concept of amar b'din vis-a-vis the yarshim. Kidei sheyachol shibud al nichsei ames. Hare shibud nechasim lo yachol lachu kol hecha deleka shibud aguf. What generates a shibud nechasim to make the money collectible from someone other than the person who was chayv? It's the shibud aguf. So the shibud aguf engenders a shibud nechasim. Let's say, for example, I borrow $1,000 from you. That generates a shibud aguf. Now that chov extends to my nechasim, and my nechasim, our ravim lo, become guarantors for the chov. But that's only because I have a shibud aguf. However, here, kevan shemesa av leka shibud aguf. And if there's no shibud aguf, the shibud aguf could not possibly engender a shibud nechasim. How then could this so-called chov of a knas be collectible from the yarshim when there never was a shibud aguf? So let's go over the two questions. The first question was that there was never a chiv to pay the knas, and therefore, and the reason for that is because the father died before Amar b'din. If there was never a chiv to pay the knas, how could you create a shibud? And second of all, even if I'll grant you that there could be somehow a hamad b'din against the yarshim in order to create a shibud, but we need first and foremost the shibud haguf, and only with the shibud haguf can we create a shibud nechasim. Here there's no shibud haguf because the shibud haguf is only chal on the father, and the father is gone. So in order to answer this question, these two questions, he quotes a Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Mehilchas Bikurim, Halacha Chaf. And here we're talking about the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen. So what happened? Pidgin HaBen is collectible at what point in time after the baby's born?
30 days.
30 days, excellent. The father died before 30 days. Again, another tragic situation. So the Rambam writes, Yinase min anachasim heislam lekoin. The Ram writes that the heislam of a pigeon is collectible from the nechasim, from the estate, even though the father died when? Before the 30 days. If he died after 30 days, then I understand. The chiddush of the Ram is that he died before 30 days, tochlo shalshim yom. And the Ram adds three words: shekvar nischayvu hanechasim. Now, the Torah disagrees with the Rama, but the obvious objection of the Torah to the Rama is that here there's no shibud nechasim. I'm sorry, there cannot be a shibud nechasim, as the Rama says, "Kran ischayva nechasim," when there was no shibud aguf, because the shibud aguf is only emerges with 30 days. So, based on this Rambam, Rebbe Chanan in Kovet Shiurim in Bavasa comes to a pretty sensational conclusion. that there's such a thing as a shibu nechasim even before the chiyuv is chal. Meaning, the shibud aguf can't be chal because he died before 30 days. But yet there's a shibud nechasim that's chal independent of, and not as a result of, the shibud aguf. And it works like this. This is Rabbi Chanan's language. Osa siba shegoremes l'shibud aguf, hi agoremes l'shibud nechasim. It doesn't mean that the shibud aguf is chal first, and that engenders and creates a shibud nechasim. What it means is that for reason X, he's chayev a shibud aguf, and that engenders also shibud nechasim. They both come from the same reason. Is lachain, therefore afal pishemes, if the father died before shloshim yom, kodem shechal achiv befoal, the Enkan Shibud Aguf, Mikol Makom, Hasiba Goremes L'Shibud Nechosim, Lo Betela, V'Shapir Chal Shibud Nechosim. In other words, after 30 days is a full-fledged Shibud. Again, that Shibud could not possibly be a Shibud Aguf, the father's already died. But it could create a Shibud Nechosim. So what do you have here? You have the Leda of the Bechor, you have 30 days gone by, those two together, A plus B, are enough to engender a chiyuv chamesh slaim to the kohen. Well, if all things were normal, that would generate a double shibud. There'd be a shibud on the father, there'd be a shibud on his nechasim. But let's say that shibud can't be chal on his father, but we have all the ingredients for the shibud to be chal, it's just that the father's gone. In such a case, the shibud would be chal on the nechasim, despite the fact that there's no shibud aguf because the father is dead. If that be the case, then we can answer another question. Okay, this is a sugya in Bava Kama. I'm just trying to make a quick calculation as to whether or not we should go through this sugya. It's pretty complicated, but in any event, there's a case where you can collect from an Orev even though the Lova is dead. Now, the Shibud onto the Orev is a result of the Shibud Aguf on the Lova. But now the Shibud Aguf on the Lova is gone. It's Paka, he's dead. And yet the Gemara assumes that you can still collect from the Orev. And again, that's going to be a reflection of this Rabbi Chanan, that once the Chov was Chal, it creates two things, a Shibud Aguf and a Shibud Nechasim. If the Lova dies and the Shibud Aguf is uncollectible, if there's such a word, but nevertheless the Shibud Nechasim as a result of that Chov is still alive and well, it is activated, and now, if that be the case, then even the Arev, because again, he has a separate Shibud, again, it's true that his Shibud is an offshoot, or if you want to call it, was generated by the Halva. And the halva generated a chiyuv guf, a chiyuv shibud aguf for the lova, and the lova is gone. But nevertheless, that same halva generates a shibud onto the arev, such that even if the lova is out of the picture, the arev will still be responsible. So he says, based on this, we can begin to understand the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the man had a relationship with his daughter, then he died, there was no Amara Bedin, and yet that Knas is collectible from the Yarshim of the Ma'anis, of the father in this case. Well, I don't get it. The father's out of the picture, there's no Shibud Aguf. How can there be a Shibud Nechasim? The answer is because that same knas that generated shibud aguf also generates the shibud nechasim. It's not the way we thought of it, that the shibud aguf is chal first, and then afterwards, only afterwards, is the shibud hanechasim chal. So what is the next page that you have then? Kufhei. Okay, great. So we're on Kufhei. All right, Rabosai, for Kuf Hey, we start a brand new sugya, and I'm going to ask you to open up the Gemara in Ksuvos, the Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis. So let's start from the word lafuke. You see a tosis aisru?
Yep.
So right across from that tosis, the second word in the line after krisus is lafuke. And this is a brand new paragraph. Has nothing to do with the previous sugya, which has different derivations to prove that despite the fact that this is an iser of kares, let's say, in the case of balachos, nevertheless he pays knas. So different derivations. There's Reish Lakish, there's Abaye. Oh, now we start a new sugya. Ulafuke me'aitara. Our Mishnah would be absolutely excluded by a Tana. Which Tana? The Sanya, the Baal HaBraisa, that Tana. The author of this Braisa is going to be at loggerheads with our Mishnah. So let's just give a general introduction here. What it means is that the Ma'anes violated a Chiv Karis, let's say Baal HaChosa. The Mishnah paskins that he pays knas. Well, that's against the Tana of the following Brice. The Tana of the Brice is going to assume that since the Torah says v'lo siya le'isha, the knas is dependent upon lo siya le'isha. If there's no possibility of lo siya le'isha, there's no knas. Now the Tana records two other Tanoim who have a little bit of an argument. But both what's common to both Tanoim, the most fundamental premise, which is accepted by both Tanoim in this Braisa, is that Velo Si Elisha, and then you pay Knas. But if there's no possibility of Velo Si Elisha, there's no Knas. What is the Machlokes? So you have first Shimon HaTimni. Shimon HaTimni holds Isha Sheyesh Ba Havaya, which means everything, whether or not a woman is included in knas or excluded from knas, depends upon tfisas kiddushin. That's called yesh ba'avaya. Now, in the case of an isur kares, if a man would marry his own sister, there's no validity to the kiddushin. So that's called ein ba'avaya. Hence, there's no knas. That's according to Shimon HaTimni. Now we get to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. He learns that velosi l'isha means isha hara'uya l'kaima, means it's got to be a woman whom he can marry. My benai, what's going to be the nafkamina? The nafkamina is going to be what we call chayve lavin. Lemandi omer, according to Shimon HaTimni, yesh ba'avaya by kedushin atosin b'chayve lavin. Let's say mamzeres. Ha'anami, yesh ba'avaya. A man is not allowed to marry a mamzeres, but if he does so, the halacha validates that marriage. So therefore, it's yesh la'avoy. Kedusha tosim b'chayvilah. But a woman, the Omar, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, who requires a ru'uya l'kaima, meaning that he's allowed to get married to her, ha'ena ru'uya l'kaima. In the case of mamzeres, he's not allowed to marry her. And therefore, there's no knas. So the Gemara now asks the following question. Ula Rabbi Akiva the Omar Ein Kedusha Tosa B'Chayvei Lavin My Beinayu. If we assume that even in the case of Chayvei Lavin there's no Tfisas Kedusha, so for example if a man marries Mamzeres, the Aloha doesn't recognize the validity of that marriage, and for that matter any other Chayvei Lavin, so then even Chayvei Lavin Mimarashap, there's no Knas either according to Rav Shimon Asi because it's Ein Aruya L'Kaima, or even according to Shimon HaTimni, there's no Tfisas Kedushin in Chayvei Lavin because of Rabbi Kiva Shita. So what the Gemara is looking for now is something that in the hierarchy of Isurim dips below Chayvei Lavin to the extent that even Rabbi Akiva would agree that Yesh Ba'a Havaya. Iko Beinayu Al Mona L'Kohen Gadol Ukrabi Simai. Sanya Rabbi Simai, O Mimina Kol, Ose, Rabbi Akiva, Mam Zerim Chutzme, Al Mona L'Kohen Gadol. So even though Al Mona L'Kohen Gadol would be a violation of a lav, but nevertheless it doesn't generate mamzerus, which means that there is tvisas kedushin. Sharei Omra Torah, the Torah says, I'll read the whole pasuk, al mana ugusha v'chalala zona es ela lo yikach ki im v'sula me'amav yikach isha. So the Torah says, v'lo yichal chilulinu osa v'yeno osa mamzerim. Now, if he violates a lav of kahuna, then he's machal is zera. Anyone born from that relationship is a chalal. But there's no mamzerus. So now what we have in the case of almona l'kohen gadol, there's no mamzerus, according to Rav Simoi, in Rabbi Kiva's frame of reference. And it means that therefore there is tefisas kedushin in the case of mamzerus. So this now is going to be a machlokas between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon Menasi. According to Rav Shimon Menasi, you need royal lekaima. Here it's not royal lekaima. So the Kohen Gadol would have to divorce the almana. But if you're going with the first sheet of Shimon HaTimni, then we're going to actually derive the same conclusion that in this case you do pay knas. She's considered an isha sheish ba'avaya, because in this case there's no mamzeris in the case of a psul kahuna. There's only halolus, and that means that there is tefisas kedushin in almana l'kohen gadol. So now we have a machlokas, even according to Rabbi Akiva, nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rav Shimon Menasi. According to Shimon HaTimni, in the case of almana l'kohen gadol, there's no mamzerus, and therefore there's tefisas kedushin, and therefore there would be knas. According to Shimon HaTimni, that's according to Rav Shimon Menasi. Now, according to Shimon HaTimni, it all depends upon yesh ba'avaya v'yein ba'avaya. So if this case of almana l'kohen gadol is yesh ba'avaya, and the reason for that is because the Torah says, "V'lo yichal zaro chilulinu osem v'yeno osem abzerus." Therefore, this tefisas kedushin of an almana to a kohen gadol, even according to Rabbi Akiva. Hence, if we go with Rav Shimon, with Shimon HaTimni, then we're going to come to the conclusion that in this case he does pay knas. Whereas according to Rav Shimon Menasi, he doesn't pay knas, because it's not Ruya L'kaima. So now let's take a look at Tosfos. Chilulin hu osa v'eino osa mamzerin. Mashma de haba ha'talia. In other words, our goal is to establish that in almana l'kohen gadol is tefisas kedushin. And in order to understand that, the Gemara quotes this halacha of lo yechalel, which means chilulinu ose v'ein ose mamzerim. So there's no mention here at all in this brisa of Rav Simoi of tefisas kedushin. Mashba de haba atalia. The came in the law of mamzer kedushin tofs. Okay. Then he writes v'chein mashma v'perik acholitz ma eshes av d'lo tafsi be'kedushin v'avlad mamzer. Again, it sounds like the reason why there's no tefisas kedushin is because the vlad is a mamzer. In the case of almana l'kohen gadol, where the vlad is not a mamzer, hence there is tefisas kedushin. It sounds almost as if the mamzerus is what undermines the kedushin. But in this case of almana l'kohen gadol, there is no mamzerus. There's only halolus, but not mamzerus. Is therefore this tefisas kedushin. So let's just summarize. Do you gentlemen know what the word tlut is in modern Hebrew? Right. Tlut. In fancy English, it's called interdependence. So Tosfos is establishing now that there's an interdependence between A and B. We gotta admonish, engrave this in our brains. And that is, A means Mamzerus, and B means Tfisas Kedushin. So if you want to know, will there be Tfisas Kedushin, what's your litmus test? Ask yourself the question, is there Mamzerus? So if this man with this woman in a marriage relationship would create a child and the child is a mamzer, it means that we don't recognize that marriage. If on the other hand the child is not a mamzer, like in this case that we derive from Lo Yechalel, that if a Kohen Gadol marries an almona, the child is a chalola but not a mamzer, then it's a fact, it means the Torah recognizes that kedushin and its vow. In the light of that discussion, we're ready for page Kuf Hei. Yesh Lachkar, which is the last three lines on the page. So it seems like I've been a little bit inconsistent about what pages to photocopy, because in this case I probably could have gotten away with it because it's only three lines. But I'll tell you the advantage here, because you see Samach Vav, it really starts a whole new sugya, so to speak. Meaning, if you look at the previous pages and the Sif Katans, you know, the numbers, it's very rare that they start with bold print. And when they do, it means we're starting like a new sugya. Alright. Just trying to justify this, the fact that we spent some extra pages here. It also has to do with the ecology, I think, right? Well, I don't know, maybe in the case of Seamus, maybe it's less of an ecological problem. I don't know. When it goes up in smoke, then fine. Yesh Lachkar. Okay, so this is an easy one, because the first word in the Chakir is Im, that means the first Tzad, and then if you drop down one line, it's O. So you have Im and O. I always like to underline them, because when you want to see the Chakir, you look at Tzad Aleph as Im, and Tzad Beis as O. So what's the first Tzad? Hasiba HaGoremes L'mamzeris, He, I'm going to add a few words, He Hasiba HaGoremes She'ein Kiddushin Tofs. In other words, if you're asking why is there no Tfisas Kiddushin, the answer is because there's Mamzerus. What the Torah is saying is that if as a result of this relationship there's Mamzerus going to be created, then we don't want to validate this marriage. Oh, the Ainzu Siba Ella Simon. It's not because this marriage will generate mamzeris, therefore Ain Tfisas Kedushin.
It's just an outcome.
But it means that if you want to know when there's an overlap between, you know, between these two halachas of mamzeris and Ain Tfisas Kedushin, the answer is there's always going to be an overlap. That's called a Simon. So let's formulate it in these terms. A generates or causes B, or whenever A, there's going to be B. You see that? Whenever A, this is the second side, it's Chakir, whenever A, there's B. Not because A is the cause of B, but it's a litmus test. There's an overlap of two different halachas which are independent of each other. One halacha is E Tfisas Kedushin, the other halacha is Mamzeris. There's an overlap between the two, and it's a perfect symmetry. But if you ask me what causes the E Tfisas Kedushin, that's the error of itself. That's not the Mamzeris. The first side is to say that the reason why there's no Tfisas Kedushin, or say it even better, the reason why there's Mamzeris is because there's E Tfisas Kedushin. I'm trying to let this like sort of sink into my brain, you know what I mean? I'm going over it in my mind again and again. That Itfis Kedushin and Mamzeris are one and the same. That's the first thing. It's all really it. In other words, if you ask me why there's no Tfisas Kedushin, it's because of Mamzerus. Just one second. Let me just get it. Siba goremes l'mamzerus imasha ein kedushin tofsin. Siba goremes l'mamzerus imasha ein kedushin tofsin. So it's not exactly the way I said it to you before when I read it a second time. Again, it's a Siva, but what is the Siva? The Siva is Itfisus Kedushin, and the Mesovev is Mamzerus. So if the man and the woman are so far removed from each other that they can't possibly be married in a valid marriage, then their marriage and violating that Isur would generate Mamzerus. And the second side remains the same, that it's simply an overlap. It's a Simon Lidovar. The Hecha Shalotavsi Be Kedusha Mibneshi Erva Hachanami Avlad Mamzer Mibneshi Erva. In other words, the Simon means that not that A causes B, but both of them have the same cause. And therefore, ipso facto, there's going to be an overlap. Meaning, I can guarantee you, that's my Simon, that they're going to both coexist. You can't separate one from the other because they both stam from the same Siba, namely the Erva. So if the Erva is enough to break up the validity of the marriage between the two, the Erva is also enough to generate Mamzerus. That's called a Simon. And now he wants to find Nafkaminas to this Chakir. And his first Nafkamina is going to be a Sugya in Tmura. And there the Sugya is talking about Almana L'Kohen Gadol. This is a famous machlokas Abai V'Rav about Eivavid Mahani or Eivavid Lo Mahani. Tmura Daf Heyam and Beis. So the Gemara asks the following question. L'Rava, according to Rava, who says Eivavid Lo Mahani, that whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, if you went in and did something where the Torah doesn't validate and recognize the status change, so in the case of Almana L'Kohen Gadol, how could there possibly be Tefisas Kedushin? The Torah says don't marry this Almana. And according to Rava, that's the rule of thumb. Whenever the Torah says not to do something, it refuses to recognize the results. Umishani, and the Gemara answers, Shani Hocha Di Omar Kra Lo Yechalel Zaro. And we need Xeris HaKosuv to establish that the relationship, that the Ishus is Chal. And the Gemara says that Chilulinu Osev V'eino Osev Mamzerim Alma Tafsi Kedushin. Now I'm not sure which way to go, Siba or Simon. If you're going to go with Siba, what the Gemara is saying is that since the Torah teaches us that there is no Mamzerus, then it must be that there is Tfisas Kedusha, because if there was no Tfisas Kedusha, then ipso facto that would cause Mamzerus. The other way of understanding it is that it's a Simon. Right, that the very fact that it doesn't create Mamzerus must mean that it's not an Erva, and if it's not an Erva relationship, therefore there should be Tfisas Kedusha. Behind Te'ilo Tafsi Bei Kedushin Mishum I'avilo Mahani Ishoya Vlad Mamzer. Oh. Bishlem litzada rishon the meis kedusha yasiba go remes lamamzer sosi shap tochinami kavon the lotavsi kedushin. So again, let's go over this. If you go with the first side, so we've proven from this pasuk of lo yechalel that there's no mamzerus. Well, that's going to undermine Rava, and not undermine, I mean to say, this is going to justify that this would be an exception to Rava's rule of the Ovid Lo Mahani. Right? Because we derive from the fact that there is no Mamzerus, that there is Tfisas Kedusha. And that makes sense in the first side, that the reason why there is Mamzerus is because of Itfisas Kedushin. So therefore, if we know there's no mamzerus, then it must be that there is tfisas kiddush. Okay, aval etzad hasheni da iser erva hu agoremis lamamzerus. Hayu iser erva chamur shein kiddush tosim bo. Eich medamin and almana lekoin go lekan. Hare e ovid lo mahani eno din miyucha bekiddush al bechal Torah. The eno mitzad iser erva ve'ech yochel ligrom. Mamzerus. In other words, if we're going to assume that there's got to be an erva here in order to generate mamzerus, and that same erva relationship is going to be mafkia, it's going to torpedo the tfisas kiddushin. So, what do we get from almana l'kohen gadol? In the case of almana l'kohen gadol, what are we going to say? That there's no mamzerus. Right? There's no mamzerus. So we're saying here that the reason why there's no mamzerus is because there's no erva. Yeah, but Rava's principle has nothing to do with erva. Rava's principle is that whenever the Torah says, you know, lo savid, e ovid lo mahani. So when we see this drasha of chilulin hu osav yeno osav mamzerim, does that mean it's not an erva? If it means it's not an erva, then it's not going to help Rav at all. Because Rav's principle has nothing to do with erva. It's not generated by erva. The whole sugya makes sense only according to the first tzad, that what generates mamzerus, it's the e tfisas kiddushin. Once I prove that there's no tfisas kiddushin, then I know there's mamzerus. If there's no mamzerus, it means that there is tfisas kiddushin. So we have exeris akosiv here that undermines the normal principle of the Ovid lo mahani, because it tells me that there is tfisas kiddushin. According to the Ovid lo mahani, there's no way, no how that there would be tfisas kiddushin. But I'm going to prove to you that there is tfisas kiddushin from the fact that there is no mamzerus in the case of almana l'kohen gadol, right? Chilulin osav ein osav mamzerim, and now if it's ein osav mamzerim, it must be because there is tfisas kiddushin. Hence we have a clear cut exception to Rava's rule of yovid lo mahani. Wow, this is more profound than I thought it would be.
The yovid lo mahani is a general statement.
Yeah, in kol tarkul. Like for example, what happens if you have two animals? One has kedushas karbon, the other is a behemoth chulin, and he says harei zu kizu. That's called tmura. So Abai's shita is that he violates a lav and he'll get malchus for tmura, but at the same time the second animal is now hegdish. In other words, his kind of tmura is operative. Rava says the Ovid lo mahani, that since the Torah says you're not allowed to go ahead and say harezu kizu, therefore it's meaningless, meaning it cannot be valid. Whatever you do against the Torah's will is not valid.
It's a kiseris akasud that it is. Who tmurato yekodesh?
Okay, so maybe in that case, this again, in every case, the Gemara is going to go through for pages and pages, so all the cash is on Rava, and in every case, the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk to show you that it's an exception to the rule. I mean, again, if we were learning Tmura, that would be exciting.
The rule stands.
In the case of Almana l'kohen gadol, we see there is tfisas kiddushin. Why? I'll prove it to you, because there's no mamzerus, which means the first tzad nachakira, that mamzerus itself is a result of e tfisas kiddushin, and if there's no mamzerus, it must be there is tfisas kiddushin, hence we undermine Rava. But that's fine, because you have a posik, an extra posik, lo yichal zara. He's just pointing out that according to the second side, basically the relationship between mamzerus and e tfisas kiddushin is erva. And if you've only proven, and all you can get from this drush of lo yichal is that almana l'kohen gadol is not an erva, it's not a rayas, that's not going to help you for Rava, because Rava says he ovid lo mahani, has nothing to do with arayas. You could have a chayve lavim, and again Rava would say lo mahani, the Torah can't recognize that marriage and won't recognize that marriage even though it's a violation of Chayvei Lavin, it's not an Erva. So you see that Rava's principle applies even in a case where something is not an Erva. Hence, what does Gemara prove from Lo Yechal that there's no Mamzerus? Lo Mamzerus is because she's not an Erva. That's not going to help Rava at all. Now, what other pages did I give you?
Towards the back.
So let's see if you can give me a minute to open up the back here, because that's so let me give a little bit of background here to what we're about to study. Just one second. I just want to make sure I know where we're holding in the first discussion about Chilulinu Oseh and the relationship between Itfisus Kedusha and Mamzerus. I just want to make sure that I mark this off in a way that we can come back to this with a fresh start. What was the Os again that we were just doing now? In the last discussion, that was Samach Aleph. Samach Vav. Okay, then. So let me just write this down. Okay. And what's the page number? Kufa. Okay, let me just write that down. All right. So now, as a little bit of an introduction here to what's going on, we have now a machlokes between Shimon HaTemoni and Rav Shimon ben Menasseh, correct? So let's go through. The Torah says, "V'lo siya le'isha." And according to Rav Shimon ben Menasseh, that means isha ra'uya l'kaima. So let's see. Is the Gemara Ksubas here yet? Let me just borrow this Gemara Ksubas for a second, and we'll open up for a second. If you have a Gemara Ksubas, to the Mishnah on Lamed Vav. I'm sorry, on Lamed Tes. I meant to say. Yeah, towards the end of the Mishnah. It says the following. Nimtza ba dover erva. O she'ena ru'uya lovo b'Yisrael. Eina rashoy l'kaima. Shenema velosia li'isha, isha ru'uya lo. So the Torah commands the Ma'anes to marry this woman. Well, what happens if Nimtza Bo Ervas Dover, which means that she had some sort of relationship with another man? I don't really blame her for that, so to speak, because she's married to the Ma'anes. But okay, but that was her decision. Fine. So at this point, she becomes a Sota, and she's a Asura L'Baila. So even though the Torah says Velosia Leisha, and then the Torah says Veluchal Ashalcha Kol Yomav, in this case he's going to divorce her. O she'ena ra'uya lovo b'Yisrael. In other words, let's say she is a shivcha. Let's say is ena ra'uya lovo b'Yisrael. So we'll try to see if we can understand this based on the Minchas Chinuch. Onas achos ishto. You have it on the bottom right on page Tof Ayin Vav. Umesa Ishta. Now keep in mind, the Iser of Achos Ishta only applies Bechaye Ishta. Now his wife has gone. So the Minchas Kinuch wants to know, does he have a mitzvah d'oraisa now to marry her? Not everybody wants to marry the sister of his late wife, but in this case he might be obligated to do so because of a lo seal ishto. Obviously he couldn't do that earlier while his wife was alive, even if you don't have cherim d'rabbeinu gerushin, because of the isa d'oraisa. Me name of the chai of the essay zu rak im nischai v'shas bia the kevin sha'oz lo isa ru'uya lo is afagav da hodar ichze lo chal of chiyu o de din ze toli b'din im yesh dichu yetzel mitzvahs b'dichu d'mei kora v'eino b'yado im amina d'ein dichu is hocha hecha de hodar ichze shapir chal of essay. So let's say, for example, you have a lulav, right? And at the time of Leil or daybreak on the morning of Sukkot, it was possible. Right? This is classic in the case of Hoshanas, because if you have too many berries on the Hoshanah, it's possible. But now the berries fall off. So there's going to be a sugya whether something that was possible could now become kosher. That's called dichui. So he says the following, that as far as the bits of Elosi Elisha, we have a dichui situation, because at the time that his wife, as long as his wife were alive, there was no possibility of fulfilling this mitzvah. However, he says there's another way of interpreting this, which would completely circumvent the need for our understanding of dichui and getting into that whole sugya. And that is that the chiyuv of Elosi Elisha only applies at the time of bia. If at the time of Bia there was no possibility of applying the mitzvah of Elosi Elisha, then you don't reinstate this later subsequent to the Bia when the Sibas Iser is removed. If she wasn't Re'uya at the time of the Bia, even if later on things changed and she became Re'uya, Lo Chalalav Chiyuv, he has no obligation. And therefore he doesn't have to marry her. So again, the two tzadim. Tzad number one in Minchas Kinuch is that there's one moment that's etched in stone that's going to determine whether the mitzvah of marrying her will apply, and that is the Shas Bia. And possibility number two is no. It has nothing to do with Shas Bia per se, but it has to do with the halach of dichui. That if there was a dichui meikara originally when the chiv was chal, then even if you remove the sibas ad dichui, yesh dichui b'mitzvahs. Again, that's according to one opinion, who holds yesh dichui b'mitzvahs. Now, let's see for a moment if we can fast forward. You'll tell me if you have the page. To page Tof Ayin Tes.
Yes.
And we're going to look for a moment.
Yes.
At the last four lines on the page. And this is a discussion in the Mishnah Lamelech at the beginning of Hilchas Naira. And this Mishnah Melech is a reaction to the Kesef Mishnah, who's a reaction to the Rambam. So maybe we'll go back to the Rambam and see if we can follow the Chagadya over here. The Rambam writes, Hoysa Anusa Zu Asura Olav Afilu Michaive Ese Afilu Shnia Harezu Lo Yisa Ena Shenema Velo Sia Le Isha Isha Haru'uyolo. Now, what we're doing here is we are suspending the principle of Ese Docha Losase. Correct? Let's say she's Asura Olam, but the Torah says V'lo Siyah L'Isha. So why not apply the principle of Esei Docha Lo? So the answer is because V'lo Siyah L'Isha means more than just a mitzvah, but it also defines the lady who's in the parsha here. And that's only an Isha Ru'uya Lo. But now the Rambam says Chai Ve'Esei. That's a little bit more complicated, because is she Eina Ru'uya because she's a Chai Ve'Esei? So this might have to do with Eina Ru'uya love of a call, that Chai Ve'Esei fit into categories of Psule Yuchsin. And then the Rambam says Afilu Shnia, which is only Drabbana. So the Kesef Mishnah writes, Masha Kosav Chayve Esei Nicha. That I understand. The Shapri Klamev Dibchal Einu Ru'i Olam B'Kol Hi. V'Sanyi B'Perke Elu Naros V'Losia L'Isha Shimon HaTimni Omer Isha She'yesh Bo Havaya Rav Shimbe Benasya Omer Isha Ru'i L'Kaima Umaskino. The Gemara's conclusion there is Dafilu Chayve Esei. We didn't get to this yet. Ein Roy L'Kaima. So when Rav Shimon ben Manasseh excludes from the parish of Knas an Isha Shein Ru'uya L'Kaima, that even applies to a Chai Ve'Esei. Avol Shnia Kosher. How could the Rambam go a step further and he talk about an Isha D'Rabbanan? Kevan D'Vidoraisa Sharia Isha Shein Ru'uya Lohi. Since we have to know whether she's included in the parasha. Well, the answer is that she is included in the parasha, because as far as the Torah law is concerned, she's mut, he's mutter, and everyone's mutter, right? I mean, well, we're talking about Shneos. So he's mutter. You know, this reminds me of that discussion the other day about kavua, you know, whether it's kavua d'oraisa or kavua d'rabban. In order to pater up from knas, you're going to have to get a kavua d'oraisa. Here also, you're going to have to get an Eina Ru'uya La D'oraisa, but that doesn't apply in the case of Shneos. The Efshari says, Tekeva Dibirachsiv, Ushmartim is Mishmarti, Motsu Chachom, and Mokom Li Isur Shneos, Shapir Ekel and Meimar, the Shnea, Im Ita, Mi Velosi Li Isha. The Velav Hochi, Keva the Chom Yudu Drabonas Mechinu, Alav de lo sasur, shapir ikle meimar udishnia imayit mi velosi isha. So this is a pretty revolutionary idea. He's saying that although the iser per se is the rabbanon, but nevertheless it comes under mishmartim is mishmarti. It's a subcategory, a branch, or an application of the general universal rule of mishmartim is mishmarti. So therefore, when you ask the question, well, is she, this Shnia, included in Velosi Elisha? The answer is no. Why? Because it's all part of Mishmartim is Mishmartim, although Sosim and Kolasha Yerucha. So the Torah itself is going to step up to the plate and say, don't you dare marry this woman, because by marrying her, you're violating Shnios, the Rabbanon. Again, this really blurs the whole distinction between Doraisas and Darabonans, this Kesef Mishnah, because every Darabonan is now a Doraisa because it's included under Lo Sosur, which grants authority to the Chachamim. So if you're violating and rebelling against that authority, then any violation of a Darabonan is ipso facto a Doraisa. So now we can say he's Potter from Knas, there's no Velosi Elisha because he can't marry him. And the Torah is going to say he can't marry him. Why? Because once the Darabonan, once the Rabbanan enacted that he's not allowed to marry her in the case of Shneos, ipso facto, the Torah is going to say he cannot marry her. If you're following. And this Kesef Mishnah is going to sort of generate a certain objection of the Mishnah Lamelech. And that's where he says, B'sof Dvarav Cholak ala Mishnah ala Kesef Mishnah. And again, it all has to do with how you interpret Velosi Elisha in the case of an Issa D'Rabbanan. So Bli Neder will try to pick this up tomorrow. All right, let's make a note of where we got up to.